Hello, this is a Daily Tech, and today I'm sharing a small tech news with you. It's going to be really interesting, so you stick around until the end, and you'll be able to hear it all. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, do click the subscribe button, as that way you'll be able to see all the latest tech news. And if you're on anything like Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, then do click the follow or heart button, as that way you'll also be able to hear the latest tech news, which is daily. Also, all the articles I do talk about will be linked in the description below. Anyways, let's get right into it. So, the first article is by What Hi-Fi, Samsung Galaxy S21 release date leaked by noted tipster, and it's soon. So, we have been talking about a soon upcoming release date for this, but I think it'll be good to get this as a main story, and also, this is the latest news on it. So, of course, the Galaxy S21 is planned to be the next generation of the S series. And of course, we are believing it to be called the S21. We may have an actual release date for the next generation of the next flagship S line of the S21 smartphones. And if the leak is true, Samsung clearly can't wait until March to show us the new handsets. So rumors suggesting Samsung wasn't far from announcing a whole new Galaxy have been circulating around for a while now. And to add these, a Win Future exclusive claiming the Samsung Galaxy's new S21 lineup has actually been in production since last week, which is obviously meant to be coming soon. Now tech analyst and oft reliable tipster, John Prosser, which obviously we've said his name a lot on here, has leaked some cold hard dates for the Samsung Galaxy S21, S21 Plus and S21 Ultra devices, which are in the tweet below, which we'll go through. So he puts Samsung Galaxy S21, S21 Plus and S21 Ultra announcement, which will be January 14th, 2021, and pre-order January 14th, 2021, and the actual launch when you receive it will be the 29th of January 2021. So as you can see, this is a lot earlier than March when they normally announce these devices. Also, for the colors, we're expecting black, white, gray, silver, violet and pink, but they will vary across different models. More likely, S21 will have the most colors. That just seems to be how this thing works. So if Prosser's sources are right, that's an announcement and pre-orders on the 14th of January 2021, which is also a good time to bag those pairs of headphones, and an official launch on the 19th of January 2021. So he predicts the phones will obviously be available in the colours. Of course, it's still too soon to get any glean of detailed specs in the S21 lineup, but we can also be certainly expect a steady stream of leaks in the run-up to Black Friday and before the holiday season. So Samsung's next flagship phone is obviously expected to come with the latest and newest Qualcomm processor. It is unreleased so far, but it is going to be released soon in time for this, which is a Snapdragon A75 chipset. And of course, the camera will probably be better and all that stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a really good phone. Yeah, we're going to be seeing it soon as well, which is just kind of cool. So more phone news. So this is by Notebook Check. Mi Mix 4 on hold as Xiaomi focuses on 200 watt plus. Oh, is this? Yeah, it's kind of smartphone news. 200 watt plus charging, which is incredibly a lot. Under display camera and 2K screen for the potential Mi 11 Pro. So the noted tech leaker Digital Chat Station has once again offered up an insight into what Xiaomi may have planned for 2021, which obviously is going to be really interesting. So while an adventurous range such as the Mi Mix line could feature a smartphone that is foldable or for slide or some other interesting innovation, these companies are doing really well at coming up with these, especially LG, you know, if they're flip and pull. As I like to say, no, that yeah, they're flip and pull. That's basically what they're doing. Or we're expecting a pull device anyway. So in Xiaomi, there isn't much going on as much as you would think right now currently. But while the Mi Mix 4 might be on indefinite hold, Xiaomi is working on a smartphone technology that would appear in future flagships such as the Mi 11 Pro, such as under-display front camera, which we've been seeing for a while, I believe Xiaomi have done. And obviously, you'll be able to have a full front display without any obtrusions, whatever the word is, obstructions, that's it. 2K screen, which is really good. I mean, we have seen a 4K screen on a phone, but 2K I think is more reasonable for a phone. And although 200 watt fast charging seems to be somewhat optimistic, Digital Chat Station have had good record in terms to this accuracy, So it could be expected. 200 watt charging though would be super fast. Like, I mean, 100 watt charging we've got, and that's only really on Xiaomi, kind of ish. I mean, 200 watt charging would be absolutely incredible. But yeah, those are just some of the things Xiaomi are working on, which is just kind of cool. And we could expect in the Mi 11 Pro. Next article. This article is by Tom's Hardware. So, G-Skill tailors new Trident Z Neo RAM for AMD's Ryzen 5000 CPUs. Haven't talked about RAM on here for a very long time, if at all. Actually, if I talked about RAM, I don't think I've talked about RAM on here at all. I think this could be a first time. I don't think it is, but it could be. So, G-Skill has expanded the brand's Trident Z Neo with a couple of new memory kits that are optimized for the Ryzen 5000 processors, which have officially gone on sale today. So obviously the 5000 processors, which are the 5600X, I believe. Yeah, 5600X, 50, no, maybe it's a 50. There's lots of like 5950X and 5900, 5800, I believe. There's ones like that. Those ones, these are going to be optimized for that for super fast memory. So the Trident Z Neo is DDR4, 3600 megahertz, which is one of the best in its class. And was only previously available in 16GB kits. It will certainly come as music to enthusiast ears that G-Skill has finally decided to offer the memory kit in 32GB kit. So 2GB to 16GB. And 64GB, which is 4 sticks to 16GB. For the more demanding consumers. Which some people do use that amount of RAM. If you're like doing gaming, I think pushing to 32GB of RAM is kind of the plenty you'll need for the next few years. But 16GB of RAM is still plenty, it's just that it's getting a bit higher now. And of course, the primary timings and operating voltage remain untouched at 14 to 15, 15 to 35, and 1.45 volts respectively. With today's announcement, G-Skill also brings the first DDR4 3800 C14 memory kit to the market with a capacity of 32GB at that. Although the memory kit requires DRAM voltage of 1.5 volts, it does flex in preference. Impressive low timings of 14 to 16 and 16 to 36. So obviously this is going to be really good for the 5000 series processors. And also for enthusiasts eager to push their Ryzen 5000 processor, the higher clock Trident Z Neo DDR4 4000 memory kits are exactly what the doctor ordered. These are incredibly fast. G-Skill are definitely offering some really good RAM that enthusiasts and higher people who just use higher spec stuff in general, or can get it anyway, will really enjoy. And I think that's good. It's nice to see that RAM's getting a bit faster. It's been kind of the same. Actually, no, it has a bit. RAM's getting faster. That means RAM will be getting cheaper, hopefully. RAM's quite cheap compared to what it used to be, but still, there we are. It's going to be really good. Next one by Politico. So, Amazon under fire in France as coronavirus restrictions hit rivals. So, Amazon's trying to fend off a wave of criticism in France as small and large businesses, opposition politicians and members of the government accuse the company of unfairly benefiting from lockdown restrictions. So, Frederic Duval, Amazon's country manager for France, went on a media tour Thursday telling multiple outlets the company was subject to fantasies about its allegedly dominant position in e-commerce. The tour comes after a chorus of attacks from ministers and opposition figures who said Amazon could benefit from rules banning the selling of non-essential items such as books and makeup products in physical stores. Which is obviously true, people will be going to those, I'll order them. So on Monday, Culture Minister Roselyne Bachelot announced that the government would reduce postal fees to facilitate ordering from local bookshops. Amazon is gorging itself, it's not up to us to feed it, she said. So, yeah, it's not great for Amazon, though, the fact that this is happening. I mean, fair enough, I mean, they are massive, and I guess it's all about that. You want to keep the local businesses and stuff like that open, but to be fair, I've done a massive anyway, it's not going to change anything. So yeah, not too much to go over there. Apart from the fact that Interesting how France seemed to be annoyed about it. I guess you would be, seeing as you're closing down your shops and you've really got one thing open. I mean, Amazon is literally the one thing. You don't really have an Amazon opposition as such. Yes, there are other things, but Amazon is obviously the widest range and it's more popular. You have obviously got things like eBay, but people tend to use Amazon for a lot of stuff. So yeah, it really does depend on what you're getting. Generally, if you're going to buy like anything used, you'll have to go to eBay. You don't really get much used stuff on Amazon, at least at a good price. But apart from that, people generally go to Amazon for new stuff. Unless it's just some of the small things that you don't generally find on Amazon. I don't know, like some adapters for like, just adapters for stuff. Generally, they're much cheaper on eBay and stuff like that. But yeah. Next up, article by Eurogamer. Sony reconfirms PS5 won't support SSD storage expansion at launch. After PS5 looming on the horizon, like some giant obelisk, which might also struggle to fit under your TV, the floodgates are now open and news around Sony's console continues to emerge, including the official reconfirmation that the SSD storage expansion won't be supported at launch. So the PlayStation 5, of course, will include lightning-fast 825GB of solid-state drive on release, and the Sony has previously confirmed that owners will be able to expand the SSD storage space via the console's dedicated internal M.2 slot. It's interesting how they're just doing an M.2 slot, you know, with Microsoft doing their dedicated, proprietary option, where you have to get that and you're not getting loads for the price. It's quite expensive. They're just doing an M.2 slot. This could mean it's not as fast, but I'm not sure. So Sony has reiterated a point made by the lead PlayStation system architect, Mark Cerny, earlier this year, confirming that the PS5's M.2 slot will be disabled out of the box on launch day, and it won't be activated for players until a future update. USB external storage support, suited to like the PS4 titles, will be available on day one. However, so if you want to get like an external SSD or like hard drive just for PS4 games, you can do that, and I think that's obviously quite good idea. So the Verge notes that Cerny stipulated a number of requirements that the M.2 SSDs would need to meet in order to work well with the PlayStation 5, including an i/O controller compatibility and the ability to deliver more than 5.5GB a second of bandwidth over PCIe Gen 4 connection. The website sources suggesting that Sony hasn't begun its SSD compatibility testing program, which is interesting. So obviously quite odd how they wouldn't activate some launch. I guess they still got to test it, make sure it all works properly, but still you'd think they would have got this ready, but I guess they haven't. I don't know what else to say. That you've got, I think 825GB will last long enough, and at least you can expand it with an M.2. Assuming where it is, I'm not actually sure where it is. You've got to go in the console itself, like on the teardown video, or if it's like an external thing, I assume it'll probably be external. It's a bit of a shame it won't be available on day one, but there we are. At least the hard drive expansion, I believe it's hard drive anyway, will be available from day one, because obviously that'll be where you can put your PS4 games. Obviously those won't really be helped with the loading times as much. So you can just put PS4 games on there if you still want to use those. Next article is by Forbes. iOS 14.2. Apple just gave iPhone users 24, which is 24 reasons, security reasons to update now. So Apple has just released iOS 14.2. So obviously iOS 14.2 brings security updates that your iPhone is recommended to have to keep it as safe as possible. So among the biggest security issues fixed in iOS 14.2, the three main vulnerabilities that Google's Project Zero ethical hackers claim are already being exploited. So Apple have fixed three issues. This is in a tweet by Ben Hawkes. Apple has fixed the three issues reported by Project Zero that were actively being actively exploited in the wild. CVE-2020-27930. CVE-2020-27950 memory leak, and CVE-2020-27932 kernel privilege escalation, and of course they have all the you can access documents and all that stuff for what the full thing is. So the first CVE, 2020-27930, is an issue for Front Parser, which could allow attackers to run code remotely. Apple said it is aware of the reports that an exploit for this issue creates in the wild. This means that attackers are allegedly using this vulnerability to successfully attack Apple users, which obviously isn't good. And of course, another issue in the kernel, which is CVE-2020-27950, it means a malicious application could disclose kernel memory. Again, Apple says it's aware of these reports, and obviously that's what they're fixing here. So why should you update the security update? I mean, if that's not enough evidence, then do you want all your data stolen? All of, I'm not sure if it does that precisely, but do you want your phone to have, well, something wrong with it? I don't think so. So as the kernel vulnerability right says, it's unclear how freely available this is. It's perhaps the most worrying. The ability to read data and being able to execute code within the kernel is as bad as it gets. Essentially, they're controlling the phone. The kernel is essentially the heart of the operating system. But it appears the user needs to install a malicious application in order to exploit the exploit to be able to run. So there you have it. Don't panic if you haven't installed any dodgy apps. If you have, though, I would... Did I mess that up? Wait, I'm just going to pause it and just check I didn't mess anything up. Yeah, okay, nothing messed up. I just need to make sure not to put my mouse into the bottom right corner. I have hot corners on. So, yeah, this is a good reason as any to upgrade, especially if you download a dodgy app. If you haven't, I wouldn't be so rushed, but I'll still do it anyway. It's always good to have the latest update. Next article by TechRadar. Best Buy Black Friday gaming deals are here to save your PC setup and upgrade it in almost every way. So we're heading into the second wave of Best Buy's Black Friday deals this weekend, with the wishlist sale looking particularly similar to last weekend's offerings. However, seeing plenty more Black Friday gaming deals among this list, so including Logitech and Corsair gear. So gaming mice are starting at just $34.99 right now on the Logitech G502 Hero, nonetheless. But you'll also find a $44.99 price tag, which was $99.99, so a discount if there's any, on the wireless G604. So if you're looking for the best value, you'd start with that option, but you could get the wireless one as well. So of course we're seeing quite a lot of deals, and let's go through kind of the list here. So of course we talked about the Logitech mice with keyboards, the Logitech G512 SE mechanical gaming keyboard at down $100. So it's a mechanical keyboard, lightweight technology, USB pass-through, clicky, tactile keys. The Corsair K70 MK.2 mechanical gaming keyboard down about 50% from 150, so like $89.99. So Corsair is getting into the action by cutting it $60. So it's a Cherry MX speed switches in here, and anti-ghosting and USB pass-through. So other retailers are still charging more, so you might want to get this one fast. And then, on the last one for the keyboards, the Logitech G815 LightSync mechanical gaming keyboard, down about $50. And of course, it's mechanical keyboard and all of that. Gaming headsets, I'm just going to go through like one of them here. What sounds like the best? So the Corsair Void Elite gaming headset, down from $100 to $79.99. So you can save $20 on the Corsair Void Elite gaming headset, a wireless set of cups, a 16-hour battery life, 50mm high-density neodymium drivers, and foam cushioning for extra comfort. You'll also find this price available on Amazon. Next up on the deal, sorry if you can hear my guinea pigs squeaking. They do that sometimes. I'll just quickly talk about the monitors. I haven't given them food yet, I've just cleaned them out. So next up, Samsung on monitors. Samsung CRG5. Okay, I'm just gonna get them food now. They're squeaking so loud, sorry about that. I'm not sure you can hear it or not, but I don't to be in case you can. Right, well, they have been fed, they're not squeaking anymore, we can continue. So the Samsung CRG5 24-inch curved monitor, down from $197, or $198, to $170. So it's only been cut by $28, but still a decent price. I hate talking in dollars, I'm British, so it's really weird talking about it. But yeah. Alright, dear Larry, if you're looking for a Samsung CRG5 24-inch curved monitor. This is just gaming as well, just to be clear. Next up, oh yeah, it has a. Yeah, you probably know what it is. Next up, ASUS VG259QNY 24-inch 24.5-inch gaming monitor. $320 down to $270. 280 Hz. All that stuff. And finally on this list, Acer Predator 27-inch gaming monitor. Oh, sorry, I have hiccups. Oh, great. $599 down to $500. So $100 decrease there. It's a nice monitor. 27-inch, 240 Hz. Quite good. So next up, article by The Guardian. WhatsApp now lets users send disappearing messages, which is interesting. So WhatsApp will still have a disappearing message feature, will soon have a disappearing message feature even, designed to enable users of the chat app to cut down on their digital footprint. Once the update, which is rolling out on Thursday, hits phones, users will be able to set an option for each individual chat they are in, whether one on one group or a group. So delete messages automatically after 7 days after they have been sent. Unlike certain competitors, as the secure messaging app Signal, WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, decided against offering flexibility to users. There is no option to change the length of time messages are stored, for instance. And the service also removes images and videos sent. We are starting with 7 days because we think that offers peace of mind that conversations aren't permanent, while remaining practical so you don't forget what you were chatting about, said the company in a blog post. The shopping list or store address you received a few days ago will be there while you need it, and they don't disappear after you don't. So that's obviously quite good. I think it's a cool feature that I'll be adding. Yeah, I think it's just helpful. I don't know if I would end up using it. It kind of. It does depend on what, but generally I like having access to all my messages, so. Depends. And the final article for today by TechRadar. LG Rollable could be the name of LG's first rollable phone. So evidence that LG has a rollable smartphone is in the works is growing, as hot on the heels of a patent just for such a device. It has now been discovered that the company has recently trademarked the name LG Rollable, which obviously would make sense. So now, with LG already building rollable TVs, the name could apply to one of those instead, with a trademark application filed with the EUIPO, European Union Intellectual Property Office, and spotted by Let's Go Digital, specifically mentions it in relation to smartphones, which would mean it would be for the smartphone that we think they're building, and it gives more evidence for that. It doesn't say much else, but there's a mention of electronic touchscreen pens for smartphones, which could mean it could come with a stylus, which would be interesting. As it's worth noting, this isn't the first time along these lines that LG has trademarked. So, they've trademarked things like LG The Roll, LG Double Roll, LG Dual Roll, LG Bi Roll, and LG Roll Canvas. Some of those names could get used instead. I think LG Roll Canvas could be a good one, or LG Canvas. So yeah. Or maybe none will. As with patents, you can't always expect them to be a thing. That said, with LG's rollable TV costing $87,000, which is like £67,000, its first rollable phone could make even the affordable Galaxy Z Fold 2 look cheap. Or maybe it's a much cheaper to develop it now. I don't know. It's possible. But I wouldn't rely on that. But yeah, that's all the tech news for today. I hope you did enjoy it and did find it interesting. As always, there'll be a new one tomorrow. But apart from that, comment down below. Oh god. Still got the hiccups. That wasn't very nice. Apart from that though, do comment down below if there's any tech news you found that I haven't seen. And apart from that, have a good day.